Well, today I would like to share with you a little something like that you can learn. Well, this would be a botanic lesson, maybe. I don't know. Be wise and go to the ant, go to the zoo, basically, and get some wisdom. So maybe our children can do that more often than we do. Well, let's read the scripture. Proverbs 6. It's a little long, but not that long, so we can read it. No problem. Let's read it together. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, your sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer, and gathers its food at the harvest. How long will you lie there, your sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and the poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A troublemaker and a villain, who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, tickles with the feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you are weak, they will speak to you. For this command is a right, this teaching is a right, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Father, we thank you for the instruction, for the wisdom that you have given us, and please continue to enlighten us and given us wisdom to follow you and to do and to live the life that you intend us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord commands us to be wise. He wants us to be wise. He doesn't want a sluggard. He doesn't want a foolish man to be with him. So how can we be wise? He gave us some instructions. The first one, according to this, is to basically watch the ant and get wisdom from the ant. So how can you do that? I was reminded a few days ago to just get wisdom from the ant. A few days ago, I was talking to my neighbor. From time to time, I would talk to him. He's an interesting person to talk with. He runs. He sometimes runs a long distance. He's pretty old. And he used to be an alcoholist. So he used to drink too much, and he was addicted to it. So at one time, that was probably a month ago, quite a few months ago, he was talking to me. He said, I'm scheduled to have a good chance to talk to my fellow alcoholist. I used to be addicted to that, but I recovered. So this is the opportunity for me to talk to them and help them to recover. I said, wonderful. This is a very good opportunity God is using you to help others. And I said, you remember 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul says that, give praise to God who comforts me in all the tribulations, so that I can help other people were also in trouble with the comfort that I have received from the Lord. And he said, wonderful. That's exactly what I'm looking for. How do you get that from? I said, 2 Corinthians. He said, I have a Bible at home. I can look it up. Give me the reference again. I said, yeah, just go home and read. And later, he said, that was wonderful. It was a wonderful meeting, and I talked to them, and using the story that I have recovered, and they are encouraged. Thank you very much. I said, yeah, you're welcome. Thank the Lord. So next time, anytime, so talk to me. So a few days ago, he was running there and maybe getting some mailbox, getting some mails, and I had the chance to talk to him again. I said, what's up? And he said, I had another opportunity to talk to them. This time, a lot of them have actually, we're like brothers. We're like brothers and a fellow friends. So this time, I would have an opportunity, and do you have anything? I said, well, let me think, I don't know. So we talked further, and I understand that, yeah, it's like a community, it's like a brotherhood. So I said, well, good. So you know how good and how pleasant the brothers would be when they are together. It's like the precious ointment from the top of the head to the beard, even the beard of Aaron. He said, wow, yeah. I know that. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Anytime I talk to you, I know that I can get something from you. I said, wow, praise the Lord. And then you know what? At that time, I thought I gave him wisdom. And immediately when I had that thought, and I was rebuked by the Holy Spirit. And basically, the rebuke was like this. Kwame, who do you think you are? Are you doing me a favor, giving him wisdom? Remember in the Bible, if someone wants to get wisdom, just go to the ant. You think you're better than the ant? So I was very much, it's an embarrassed moment for me. It's a kind of embarrassment. I'm glad that he was gone. So at that time, he didn't say my face changed. He didn't say the conviction that I had with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, that encounterment gave me something inside. So go to the end. The Bible says, go to the end. Consider its ways and be wise. Even before I consider its ways, I'm humbled already. I'm thinking even an ant can give somebody wisdom. Who am I to? I mean, God can use an ant. Why did God need to use me? So I'm just as small as an ant. If he gets some wisdom, well, that's the wisdom from the Lord. So, I would say, get the wisdom. First one, watch. Just watch the end. And think about the smallness of ourselves. If you can humble yourself before the Lord, that's the beginning of the wisdom. Remember, Proverbs 9:10, it says, the beginning of the wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if we start to realize the smallness of ourselves and begin to fear the Lord, that's the beginning of the wisdom. Then we start to think, consider the ways. What are the ways of the ant? Basically, it says two things here, diligence and wisdom. So diligence, the ant keeps working, right? And also, while time is not there, the ant kind of seems to have some foresight there. They know what should be stored. When time of scarcity comes, they will have something to eat. So that's wisdom. So we're basically seeing here two things from the ant, diligence and wisdom. So, I would say, keep our eyes, watch the ant, and also when we consider that's using the eye of the heart to watch. So if you go to the end and just watch and look at them, I would say this is just physical eyes. Keep our eyes watching with the physical eyes. And then I would extend to say that keep watching from the eyes of your heart. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians. And he says that, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So how can we get wisdom? Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes in physical. Keep your eyes of the heart. So use your physical eyes to watch and realize the smallness of ourselves, and use the eyes of your heart to consider the diligence and wisdom in the end. So with this kind of inspiration, and I wanted to get wise, so you guess what I did? I went to watch the end. So that was the end. I just watched and see what it does. And basically, after watching, did I get any wiser? No, not immediately. So this is what I decided to do. I just watch more. So I watch more ends, and I started to think. So those words repeatedly came back to me, and saying that God really wanted us to have wisdom, and that wisdom lies in at least those two aspects that the end shows us: diligence and a foreseeing of wisdom. So if you have that, you have a good start to the wisdom. And then be wise, not only keep your eyes, but also keep your hands to yourselves. What does that mean? Okay, keep your hands tight to yourselves. I don't remember when I was little, but I remember when some of my kids were little. And sometimes their teachers, either at the school or at the church, would tell them that, don't destroy anything. Just keep your hands to yourself. Just don't destroy anything. Don't steal anything. If you will just keep your hands to yourself, it's kind of honoring. It's honoring others. It's honoring others, and it's also honoring God's intention. Let me go back to the passage to say what they have in common. Okay. So there are evil things that God hates. There are six things plus one more. There's seven in total that God detests. And if you just examine them, they have something in common. What is that something in common? Well, I will tell you two commonness. And then you could probably find more than that. So one of the common place of all those things, if you look at those things, okay, there are haughty eyes, looking for someone else, someone's own glory, and belittle others. That's what haughty eyes or haughty mind means. And then there's innocent blood. That means that person is taking someone's life or someone's property. And you have, what else? You have you have something that you steal from others. So if you look at them, they have something in common. The first one is that they belong to someone else. It says, do not sleep with the neighbor's wife, and do not give your way to a wayward woman. So all those things, innocent blood, the life belongs to others, the property belongs to others, the copyright belongs to others, and stuff belongs to others, and that evil person tries to get it. So all those things have one thing in common. They belong to someone else. They don't belong to the one who wants it. If you want to get something that belongs to someone else, it's called stealing, right? That's one thing. And there's another thing in common is that they seem to be good, but they're not the best. They're not good. They're not intention. They're not ultimately the good. So there are a lot of things in our life we thought that would be very good to us, but you don't know what you're missing. You're probably missing the best. You're missing the better ones in the wrong. Okay, let me give you an illustration from the chess. See, you think this queen moved from this to there to do something, capture something that he thinks is good. Well, he doesn't know that is in danger. Just like the proverb says, okay, if there's a wayward woman in the life, if there's a innocent blood, if there's other people's property and a person takes it, that person thinks that's good. But no, it's not really the good. It actually indeed puts that in danger after capturing the seemingly good thing. Well, the queen captures something that the white thinks is good, but really is in great danger here. You see that? If the black just do the bishop move from here to b4, checking. And then the queen takes that queen. So it's in danger. The white is in danger, and the white doesn't know. The white takes something that the white thinks is good, but no, really doesn't. Well, that's the price the white needs to pay by capturing a smaller knight. Just capturing a knight and then sacrificing the queen. Is that a good deal? No, of course not. So, if you do some lie and get something, if you steal something, and if you, if you have give away to a wayward woman, is a good deal? No, it's not, because it puts you in a danger. You think this is good, but no, because the best you have not seen yet, and you even don't know what the best is, and you don't know what the danger is by capturing the same good thing current. And then there's a story that reminds me to always keep eyes to the best things that God had for us, not the current seemingly good things. So this is a story. It's called Keep Your Fork. So this is the second point of, this is the point of getting wisdom. Keep your fork. Why did she say that, keep the fork? Because this is a woman who is terminally ill, and she knows the end of her day is coming. So she calls the pastor to pray for her, and she has arranged everything, like rehearsing the bookshelves or the house or children or whatever. So she made the arrangement peacefully because she thought, yeah, I'm going to the Lord, which is good place. I'm peaceful here, and I just arrange everything. And in the end of the arrangement, she says something, Pastor, I want you to put a fork in my right hand in my gasket. What a request. Guess what the pastor said? The pastor said, I'm puzzled by the request. What did you mean by that? I'm puzzled. I hope even if you are a pastor in the future, don't get this strange request. And even if you get the strange request, may the Lord give you wisdom to ask the right question. So the pastor asked the right question. He basically said, I'm puzzled, please explain. So he explained to the woman. The woman said, well, in the dinner, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, you can keep your fork. It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming. That's her explanation to her pastor. So she continued to say, I want you to keep a fork in my casket. In my casket, with a fork in my hand, I want them to ask a question, like you did. I want them to wonder, and then you can answer the question for me. So what's the answer? You would tell them, this is the answer, the best is yet to come. So how can we get wisdom? We need to know the best is yet to come. It's not the things that we are currently desiring. So how can we get wisdom? Again, keep your eyes, watch, and consider. Watch the end and consider our smallness and consider the diligence of the end, the wisdom of the end. And then we can be wise. We can be wiser. And also keep our hands to ourselves, not stealing. Because when we steal, that thing is not the best. It's not the best. And the best, where's the best? The best is in the Lord's place. This is what Paul encouraged us to see. Just pray that the eyes of our hearts can be enlightened. To see what? To see the good things. To see the best. What is the best? The hope and the incomparably great power. So that's the hope. And that's the power we're waiting for. That's the best. So when we do that, when we keep our eyes and when we keep our hands to ourselves, honoring others and honoring God, and we're also keeping our fork for the best. If you do those three things, you can be wise. You can be wiser because that's God's word, and if we do that, God's wisdom, God's hope, God's imperishable great power will be with you and me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you have shown us through many things, sometimes through the small things. As small as an ant. When we watch them, we know how small we are. We're just not ant. And you can use us, you can use something else, someone else. And when we think of our smallness and our undeservedness, we will know your power. We will know the best is in your place. And we will know you have all the hope and great power for us. And when we do that, we really not only opened our physical eyes, but also we have opened the eyes of our heart, and those eyes have been enlightened by you. We thank you for that. And I also thank you for the rebuke, thank you for the warning that we need to keep our hands to ourselves without desiring, without coveting other people's property, other people's person. And when we keep our hands to ourselves, honoring others and honoring you, that's wisdom. We thank you for that wisdom. And I also thank you for your desire for us. You always desire us to be wise, desire us to have the best. We know that if we just pay attention to you, if we just have a foresight, if we can see just a little further, if we just can see a little longer, we will disregard the things that seem to be good in our eyes. We know that when we discard those for your sake, we know the rest would be the best. We thank you for the best thing. Thank you for the wisdom that you have given us. Please continue to enlighten us, to give us hope and great power and wisdom. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.